Chapter 4. His Early Ministry and Miracles. There was a Greek and Roman legend that said if you were truly holy or descended from the gods, you could turn water into wine. Now, this might not be related to Christ's miracle at Cana, which we discussed in the last chapter, but I want you to understand that throughout the Bible you will find legends and myths from other cultures that are couched or hidden, like the virgin birth we already covered. These myths and legends were inserted in the Bible to give more substance to Christ's divinity and those around him so as to counter the influences of other religions. In other words, it was simply a case of, my God is better than your God. Therefore, we have virgin births, heavenly choirs, angels, and miracles galore to show an uneducated populace that indeed the God of the Christians is greater than any other God. This is not to discredit the miracles of Jesus, for he performed many. It seems he had to fulfill the prophecy that not only he knew, but wanted others to know, that he was from God. Not to malign other messiahs or messengers, but no one has had miracles attributed to them as Christ has. I'm sure that he had direct infused knowledge from God, for he always knew beforehand what was to come. As he began his public life, he knew he would be addressing people who were largely illiterate, just as most of his disciples were. He therefore addressed people using a lot of parables that still hold great meaning and truths to this day. His parables were mainly ways to explain to the masses how to care for their fellow man and how to live life as a good person. He was much more interested in the society of the times than the politics. Even when asked about taxes, he simply said, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God's." Matthew 22:21, Mark 12:17, Luke 20:25. If you look a little beneath this statement, as well as many others he made in his sermons, you will see a general theme that he preached all his life. It is simply, quit being concerned about all the daily bustle of money and the worry over property and what you have here. It is truly transient, and your real reward is in heaven. It is also interesting to note that some of Christ's miracles are recorded in the Quran, the Holy Book of Islam. The Quran mentions Christ healing a leper, mentioned also in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the healing of Bartimaeus, a man born blind, also mentioned in John, and the raising of Lazarus from the dead, mentioned by John. It also mentions a miracle performed in Christ's childhood, the bringing to life of pigeons made of clay, mentioned in the non-canonical books, the Infancy Gospel of Thomas and the Infancy Narrative of James. Both of these non-canonical books explain some of the childhood of Jesus, but are not accepted by the church as canon or genuine. If you ever get a chance to read them, you will understand why the church did not accept them. For example, they say that Christ as a boy killed two boys and struck the parents of one boy blind in fits of anger. Francine says he did none of those actions. The second miracle performed by Christ, according to all of the four canonical gospels, is when Jesus cured a servant of a centurion in Capernaum, Matthew 8:5-13, Luke 7:1-10, John 4:46-54. Both Matthew and Luke write that the person afflicted is a servant of a centurion, while John writes that the person is the son of a ruler, another inconsistency. John's is the only gospel where it is written that this was the second miracle of Jesus. It may be incorrect, as Matthew has written, that Jesus cured a leper before this incident, and Luke has written that Jesus had healed a man with a withered hand in a synagogue on the Sabbath before this incident. More inconsistencies.